Well, good morning, brothers, sisters, and young people. And we welcome you here around the table of our Lord, whether in person or online, and we're glad you could join us on this joyful morning. Well, good morning to you all. I'm Brother Sebastian Pitcher, and I'll be your chairman here this morning. And serving you with me today, we have our brother Tim Manser, who will lead us to the emblems with his words of exhortation. So Brother Tim has chosen for his exhortation this morning the theme of faith to enter the promised land. And as an introduction to that, read Joshua chapter 14. So now I invite our brother Tim to lead us to the emblems with his words of exhortation, reminding us of Christ and encouraging our new sister and all of us for the week ahead. Faith to enter the promised land.
Good morning, brethren and sisters, and thanks for the intro, Brother Seb, and a special welcome to Sister Ruby. You know, what a wonderful day. Heaven above and here at Hyde on earth are unified in praise to our God for the decision you've made, Rubes. We're so happy for you, for Graham, for Jenny, for Libs and Louis. I just want to say, Ruby, it's actually been a real honour to have taught you through your Sunday school years and then through for baptism. It's been a pleasure watching the miracle of God's word mature your heart. You've always been this little sponge that could not get enough of God's word, and you have this strong conscience that desperately wanted to please God. And I know how much this morning, how much you wanted to be baptized, so I'm really happy for you. Well, this morning I thought, well, what character really would be helpful for us all, and especially to you, Ruby, as you start your walk as a new babe in Christ? And to be honest, I really couldn't get past Caleb. It's because, really, we don't know how long our walk will be before Christ returns. I mean, we look at the world events right now and they seem to be screaming at us that he is close. But in reality, it could be days, could be months, could even be years. And I think we really need to have Caleb's faith if, however, the days and years are drawn out. You know, brothers and sisters, this man's faith is just incredible. You know, even under trying circumstances, he never became bitter. He was positive, courageous, steadfast, unmovable, and determined to wholly follow his God. And you know, even when the trudging through that wilderness took up nearly more than half his lifetime, he never changed. And I think the proof of this is in the details of the chapter that we had read for us this morning. And we know Caleb's always linked with Joshua, and the two of them would have had this very close friendship because they had a unity of mind and they'd experienced so much together. It's believed that Caleb's a Gentile through his family lineage as a Kenizzite, and the meaning of his name is a dog, which seems to support this theory. So he's a man that's been grafted into the hope of Israel, and that's what we are all here this morning. He's the son of Jephunneh, and Jesenius, the historian, signifies that the meaning of that name is for whom a way is prepared. And the relevance of his name becomes evident in this chapter. But you know, so often in the Bible, Gentiles who became into the hope of Israel, like you think of Rahab, you think of Ruth, they had very strong faith. And one commentator of Caleb's faith really sums it up well when he writes this. His faith was preeminently the fruit of conviction and not the accident of heredity. It had a firmer basis than that of most Israelites. And sadly, there was a whole generation of Israelites that lost their lives in the wilderness. That's a testament to that statement. But really, what's God's endorsement of Caleb? If we come back, putting a marker in Joshua chapter 14, because we will move a bit, but Numbers chapter 14. Look at Numbers chapter 14. And this is God's endorsement of Caleb. And verse 24, But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He had another spirit, and followed God wholeheartedly. And God then says to him, him will I bring into the land. And so now we can see why he's almost always called the son of Jephunneh, for whom a way is prepared. And we know, don't we, Joshua and Caleb unitedly symbolise Jew and Gentile in the promised land. And you can hear the echo of Abraham's promise there at the end of verse 24. Through thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And just keeping a marker, obviously, in Numbers chapter 14, and we'll come back to Joshua chapter 14, because this chapter reveals to us quite powerfully Caleb's character. Have a look at verses 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9. And Moses swore unto that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know, this term, wholly followed the Lord, really is a summary of Caleb. It doesn't matter whether you go to the record in Numbers, Deuteronomy, or here in Joshua, it's repeated again and again. And we find in the record, every time Caleb is speaking, he's on God's side. And Rubes, you have some wonderful strengths in your character. You love God. You have a strong conscience and you want to learn about him. Wholly follow your God. And when you speak, be on his side. And we all know this, don't we? If we do this, it's an absolute guarantee to be in the promised land, because Caleb powerfully teaches us this. You know, brothers and sisters, we all know the story of the spies report and Joshua and Caleb, how they stood alone. You know, we've done it through Sunday school. There's nothing new in this story. But there is some wonderful lessons that come out of verses 7 and 8 of chapter 14 here of Joshua. It says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. As was in my heart. This is a statement of humility. Caleb was honest. He's telling the truth about his faith. And how do we know? Well, we know that God opens up our hearts and has a look at them. And God's summary of Caleb was that he had a different spirit. And you see in verse 8 there's the play on the word heart to show the difference between Caleb and the unfaithful spies. But you know in this verse that these men that caused so much devastation, Caleb still calls them his brethren. He's compassionate, caring, completely gutted that they did not have the faith and they'd been lost. And how do we know this? We'll once again come back to Numbers chapter 14. And we'll read from verses 5 to 9 of Numbers chapter 14. It says there, this is the report, the evil report that the spies said, and this is the reaction of the congregation. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defence is departed them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. You see, brethren and sisters, Caleb was part of the group that were pleading with the people there, and so much so that he rents his clothes here. And see the appeal in verse 9? Only rebel not against the Lord. You know, Caleb fully understood his God. He knew his word never returned void. He was terrified for his brethren. You know, it's a really beautiful character. And Ruby, you are caring. You're compassionate. You worry about people. Never lose those qualities. They're wonderful attributes to bring into ecclesial life. And when we think of Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, and we heed Caleb's words when he said, I brought him word again that was in my heart. Caleb had a conviction and honesty no matter what the circumstances were. He would always show God in a positive light, and it nearly cost him his life. He wouldn't change for anything. Have a look at verse 10 of Numbers chapter 14. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. God had to intervene to protect them. And just think about this for a moment. Joshua and Caleb were with those men for nearly 6 weeks. That's 40 days. And that report that those men gave would have been planned and discussed many times. It takes courage to stand up and speak for God. And I'm sure that this incident here is not the first time that they'd voiced their concern. And Ruby, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined in your heart, and your baptism this morning is a witness to that. It's a positive light. Never put it under a bushel. Take it to the top of the hill for all men to see. And be proud that you're convicted of his word and that you love him. And we do this, don't we? Because we don't care about men's opinions. We only care about our God's opinion. And that conviction gives us the courage to speak. And as we come back to Joshua chapter 14, we now see Caleb's positivity and conviction turned into initiative and action. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Joshua chapter 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me there in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Caleb treasured that promise that God gave him. And 45 years later, he can name the date and the place that he received it from Moses. He's very, very clear about the fact that he wants this mountain in verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. You know, the ESV, the NIV, they state the hill country. Give me this hill country. It's where Hebron was. He's a Gentile grafted into the hope of Israel. It's where Abraham was buried. Caleb was passionate about the promises. He believed this promise with the same faith as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's clear in verse 12 there that God had promised him this part of the land, although it's not specifically mentioned. There is no record of this conversation in Numbers. But here's the point. Caleb knew exactly where his inheritance needed to be. It wasn't about getting the best land, the best views, the best city, the best house. It was about delivering his brethren and sisters, showing them faith in action, teaching them that it was all about God's strength. You see, Caleb had to remove the stumbling block that was still in that land some 45 years later. For 38 years, it plagued his mind. He knew the region of Hebron where those giants were like the back of his hand. 45 years ago, he said to those people, they're like bread for us. Let's go up at once and take it. And that man watched horrific loss of life from the ages of 20 years and up as a whole generation died in the wilderness And he had to wait till the very last one of them died before he could go into that promised land. He was under no illusions. He expected to fight for his inheritance. Nothing had changed in 45 years. He recognised that life under endeavour. He expected hardship and he was prepared to endure it. So Caleb took ownership of his inheritance. He was never going back into that wilderness, nor was he ever going to rely on anyone else getting it for him. Look at verse 10. Look at the phrases. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Verse 11. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He's 85 years of age. He realized that he was part of the purpose of God. For whom a way is prepared. He knew that to inspire a younger generation, he had to teach them to take their inheritance by showing them faith in action. You know, brothers and sisters, that's why God called him my servant Caleb in Numbers 14, verse 24. God only ever exalts his servants. You know what's so wonderful about this man is, even though he and his seed were promised that land by God, he patiently waited. He never took matters into his own hands, but worked with Joshua. And when the time was right, in verses 6 to 12 of this chapter, he asked for that which was promised. He made a request, believing that he would receive. Keeping a mark in Joshua chapter 15, let's just go to Mark chapter 11 and see what our Lord says. Mark chapter 11. Jesus says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That really is the summary of Caleb. He conquered through faith, didn't he? You know, when we flip back to Joshua chapter 14, Caleb never presumed. Have a look at verse 12 of Joshua chapter 14. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. If so be the Lord will be with me. He said the same words 45 years earlier in Numbers chapter 14 when he said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land. You see, the point is, Caleb believed that God could. He never presumed that he would. He manifested both a dependence and confidence. He made no boast about his own ability or power, but he rested solely on God. And you know, he really is a wonderful example. And have a look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. I mean, can we just begin to imagine the emotion in that verse? Those two men would have hugged and shed tears. You can hear Joshua saying to Caleb, you deserve this, Caleb. Thank you for being by my side. You know, here were two men's faith that were solid as a rock, who held each other up through some incredibly difficult times. They're remarkable men. And so we know, Caleb conquers Hebron. Did you know there's a little bit more to this story? Let's flip over to Joshua chapter 15. And we'll read from verses 13 through to 19. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and tell Maai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence into the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksar, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksar, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And so, like any form of teaching, Caleb had led the young men of Judah and showed them how to conquer giants when he took Hebron through faith at the tender age of 85. But now he has to step back. He could not carry their faith. They had to stand on their own two feet with their relationship with God. So he gives them incentive. Whoever takes and removes the remaining giants in Kirjath-Sepher, in verse 16 there, will be given his daughter Aksar to wife. And Othniel, Caleb's nephew, takes the city. And what a remarkable family they are. But you know, take a closer look at Aksar, and what a remarkable woman she is. You see, in verse 17, we see that Othniel becomes her husband. And at the start of verse 18, she asks him to request a field from Caleb. And I found this section of scripture quite funny, actually. Let's get this straight. Othniel's no slouch. He's a great warrior who just took a city full of giants. And he becomes one of Israel's greatest judges. But I think every man's had that moment when your new wife says, go ask Dad for something, and all forms of courage seem to disappear. And not only that, it's Caleb that he has to go ask. But you know, Ruby, there's a lot you can and we all can learn from Aksar. You know, this was not some demand from a privileged daughter who usurped her husband's authority. She approached her father with great respect. It states she lighted off her ass in verse 18. Abigail lighted off her ass when she met David and his men and stopped them in their tracks and bowed down. And what a woman Abigail was. Rebecca lighted off her camel when she saw Isaac from afar off in the field. It's a form of respect. And you notice in these verses, Aksar did not ask for a different inheritance. She says in verse 19, For thou hast given me a south land. And that word means Negev, or dry land. Given me. Here's the point. She hopped on an ass and took ownership of her inheritance. She went and inspected the land and discovered it had no water. And you remember, Ruby, what God asked Abraham to do with his promised land. Walk the length and the breadth of it. Put your faith into action. Don't sit there. Understand what you've been given and what you need. Just keeping a marker once again in Joshua chapter 15, just turn with me to Proverbs. We know this chapter very well. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. You know, Aksar was the virtuous woman in action. And I think as we come back to Joshua chapter 15, I think it's very, very clear what Caleb had done. He deliberately left out the springs of water. It was a test of faith. He wanted to know that when his daughter became independent, whether she valued that inheritance and understood that the springs of life are important. The water is the word of God, and it's the only thing that gives life in a dry land. 38 years in a desert had powerfully taught Caleb that lesson. Ruby, your dad and mum have raised you up and taught you to love God. They've guided and protected you. But this morning, you've taken ownership of your inheritance. You've walked in faith in the length and breadth of this earthly inheritance and discovered there's no water. And you've come to an understanding of what you need. This morning you've been cleansed through the waters of the springs of life, the salvation of Jesus Christ. The well is the family of God. The water is God's word. When we drink it, it gives us life to manifest the character of our Saviour to each other. Ruby, we pitch our tent here. We plant and labour in service to each other, building up each other to the praise of God. And brothers and sisters, Axa got it. She understood what she needed. Look at the phrases in verse 19 of back in Joshua chapter 15. Give me a blessing. Give me also springs of water. I mean, does this sound familiar? Caleb's words in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. It's about faith in action. Axa was definitely her father's daughter. And in response, Caleb gives her the springs. As you know, brothers and sisters, to drive this lesson home, God recorded this story a second time in Judges chapter 1. He placarded this Gentile's family's faith to the rest of Israel and used it as an example of what Israel should have done. And we all know about the book of Judges, don't we? It's a failure of Israel to take their inheritance. And of course, this morning, we unitedly with you, Ruby, come to our Lord, praying that the water that he gives us becomes a spring of water upwelling up to eternal life. And we all echo the Samaritan woman's words, give me this water. Ruby, as a new sister in Christ who's about to take the emblems for the first time, you've now become part of the family of God. And I thought, really, what better way to summarise Caleb's, Othniel's and Axar's example than through the letters of your name. And the lessons are all here for us this morning. So let's spell your name. R. Be righteous for God. Always do what is right and well-pleasing before him. Follow God wholeheartedly. You. Be unmovable. Be strong in your personal conviction. Never wavering. B. Believe. Put faith into action. Take ownership of our inheritance. We need to walk the length and the breadth of this spiritual land and understand what we need. Y. Say yes. Always have a positive attitude that is inspiring, believing that if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Ruby, may God bless you all the days of your life.